Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Thanks so much for hanging in there with us. Our conversation today is about classical Lutheran education. I know we've talked about it a few times here on Faith and Family, and looking forward to having a conversation about it again today as the Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education, has a conference coming up in July. We'll talk more about that at the end of the program today. So I hope you can stick around for the whole conversation. Wanted to give you a chance to hear a family's perspective on why they chose classical Lutheran education for their family. So joining us by phone today, the Reverend John Hill. He is at Mount Hope Lutheran Church and School in Casper, Wyoming. Good morning, Pastor Hill.
Yes, good morning, Andy.
Thanks so much for taking some time to share your family story with us today.
Very happy to do so.
We also have with us on phone today, I believe we have Mrs. Hill. We have Angie Hill joining us. Good morning, Angie.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for taking some time to talk with us this morning.
Welcome.
And also Andrew, and I believe, Andrew, you're a student at the University of Wyoming, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Thanks so much for taking some time out of your summer to talk with us today.
Oh, no problem.
So I'd like to talk about your background and why you chose classical Lutheran education for your family. Pastor Hill, growing up, did you have any exposure to classical Lutheran education?
No, I went through the public education system as an elementary and high school student. Probably my only exposure to it was by way of some of the languages that I took and our own maybe family interest in theology and scriptures and also in reading and literature. But I went through to one of our Concordias and then to the seminary, and probably the seminary is about as classical of an education as I got growing up.
And Angie, how about you? Any background, any connection with classical Lutheran education before your family or while you were growing up?
No, not really. I went to Lutheran elementary schools growing up, and I remember when I was in university, one of my history courses, reading about the Trivium, and I remember thinking, wow, that's a really neat way to do education. I wish we still did it. and then later, when I was pregnant with Andrew, we started considering sending him off to school. We discovered that people were actually using a classical curriculum, and we started investigating, and we've been trying to work on it ever since.
Now, Angie, are you you're a teacher also as well, is that right?
I have taught at our school. I've taught preschool and third through fifth grade, off and on, just kind of helping out.
What was as a family? So, Angie, your first experience of learning about classical education was in your studies as a college student. Is that correct?
Yes.
And so, what moved you further? What was your first experience then with classical education? You found a classical school in your area. Is that right?
No, we lived in North Dakota in a very small town of about 70 people. So we started thinking we may have to homeschool. Andrew would have had to ride a bus 20 miles out of town to go to school. So we thought, well, let's homeschool. And then we thought, well, how will we do that? We started reading just about homeschooling things available and started investigating different philosophies of education. And classical education is founded on the idea that there is such a thing as an objective, knowable truth, strong emphasis on language and that words mean things. And then, of course, making a student who serves his neighbor mm-hmm. and contributes to society functions well in his civilization.
Pastor Hill, how would you describe your first experience with the classical Lutheran education?
Well, we came to Casper when our first two children were very young, and we went to a congregation, came to the congregation here at Mount Hope that had the facilities for a school but had nothing more than a preschool at the time, and the congregation decided to start a school, and it was when we added our first grade that the teacher and I got real serious about addressing the curriculum issue, and we started employing the classical philosophy in the way we designed our curriculum at that time. And so my experience with it has basically been from the ground up, learning it, researching it, adapting it here, and we feel like it's a constantly growing process here on our end of things. But that my experience here has been as a headmaster and the pastor and assisting in the teaching here in our own classical Lutheran school.
And where did you go to find out to learn about classical education? I'm sure you probably had to go to a number of sources.
Sure, we did some reading what was available, and there wasn't a whole lot available when we first got started. Then also the Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education began to be formed, and we started to have conferences, and of course that brought us together with other folks who were having similar experiences, and so those are all sources. There's a lot more available now than there was 17 years ago when we first got started, and in fact I have been in contact with some of the colleges, Hillsdale College for example, and we've made some contacts that way. And so, the resources are a lot greater now than they were at the beginning.
And so, you've had the opportunity to see the school there at your congregation at Mount Hope in Casper. You've had the opportunity to see that grow. You said you started with one grade and then kept adding from there. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And so, where is the school now?
It's all the way up through eighth grade.
Wow, outstanding.
Oh, it's wonderful. And if you could come up with some funds, we'd love to add a high school.
Very good. Very good. Well, that's great to hear that you're all the way up to eighth grade now. I'd like to talk with Andrew a little bit. Andrew, I'd like to hear about your school experience. I know that you've had classical education as much of your education as possible. It's some homeschool, I believe, and some in a day school. Tell us about your school experience from young all the way up through high school.
Like you said, I've had classical education since preschool, kindergarten, so I haven't really known much else. Lots of focusing on grammar and things like that, things you don't really, now I find you don't really get in a public school. Lots of that started Latin at third grade, continued that all the way through part of high school. History, doing more history than just the U.S., ancient history, all the way through. And at the same time, they pushed us really hard in math and that kind of stuff. Coming into high school, I started being homeschooled, and we started doing more sciences and. I took a lot of classes at our local community college to try to get some of the things that start focusing in areas that we hadn't before. But still, we focused a lot on languages and history and reading primary sources from ancient times and stuff.
When you started taking the classes at the college level, at the community college, as a high school student doing a dual enrollment program, how were those classes different than what you had experienced up until that point? Obviously, it was a college class, so it's going to be, I'm sure, different to some degree. What were some of the differences that you experienced?
So the first classes I started taking at the college were music classes. And so that wasn't tremendously different from music classes I'd taken before. And then I started adding math classes. And so those weren't terribly different either, just at an accelerated pace, for a college semester. You didn't really start seeing any differences until I started taking science classes, took anatomy and physiology and some of that stuff. And that's where, you get professors who have different worldviews from your own, and you start getting some of those kind of issues coming up. Until I started getting into the sciences at the college, it was fairly similar. And then it wasn't until now that I've started, taking languages and actually working on a degree. So,
as you encountered the instructors with a different worldview, especially when it came to the sciences, to the natural sciences, did you feel prepared to respond to those worldviews? How did you feel about those classes when you encountered a worldview that that comes from an evolution perspective?
Well, one of the things, I guess, that a classical education teaches you to do is to look for people's worldviews that they are expressing.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, they're not going to come out and say it, and most of the teachers aren't even allowed to come out and say it. So a lot of those things you kind of have to see for yourself, and then you can sift through and you know, put your look at something through your own worldview. So I guess, I mean, I wasn't terribly shocked. I knew that those beliefs were out there. Just never had them, you know, expressed to me by a teacher before.
So it sounds like you had an understanding of the concept of worldview before you started your classes at the college, before you stepped into the classroom there. You were prepared in many senses to face the questions and just a different worldview, it sounds like.
Yeah, absolutely. That's, I mean, kind of back to the topic here, that was, in my opinion, one of the benefits of, you know, getting a Lutheran classical education, because, you know, they teach us, you teach what you actually believe, and at the same time, you know, you contrast that to other beliefs and, you know, why yours is correct and theirs is not. And so when you actually see it in the world, one, it's not a shock, and two, you kind of know how to respond already.
What subjects did you enjoy the most? What did you enjoy studying the most as either in the grade schools or in high school or even as a community college student those first few years?
Well, I always loved taking history classes. And I loved Latin. Latin was hard, which I think was partly why I liked it. So that one was kind of a love-hate relationship, but I've always loved taking, you know, history, geography, language kind of classes.
I felt the same about Greek. It was a love-hate relationship. I loved studying a language that, you know, that God's Word was written in so that I could study God's Word in the original languages, but it was tough.
Yep.
Well, what are you studying now as a college student at University of Wyoming?
So last fall, I actually just changed my major to Spanish with an emphasis in linguistics. And then this spring I added a minor in international studies.
Wow, very good. Do you have specific aspirations, or is there something specifically that you're hoping to do with that degree?
I really have no idea.
And that's perfectly fine, too. I'm glad to hear that you are studying something you enjoy and have an open perspective on what you'll do after college.
Yeah.
You know, this week there are many people gathered here at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod International Center who are in orientation to serve as missionaries for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and with our partner churches around the globe. And I'm sure someone with a background in linguistics and history probably would be well equipped to serve in such a vocation. What do you think, Pastor Hill?
Sure. lots of possibilities there, absolutely.
Absolutely. And I'm sure many of those who are out in the field right now serving as missionaries, I know I've talked with our friends at Lutheran Bible Translators and their background in linguistics, the training that they go through in linguistics really is key to the work that they do. Well, Andrew, it's great to hear that you have enjoyed your education, your classical Lutheran education. How do you think your education compared to that of your peers who went through a different type of education system?
Yeah, that's a big question.
That's a loaded question, isn't it?
Well, I mean, on the surface, you see lots of differences, especially in middle school, where we do lots of, you know, grammar and history and English work. You know, they're already doing lots of science, but it's not always terribly objective from what I can see. One of the big things that we focus on, I guess, in a classical Lutheran education is what is truth, you know, searching for truth, and that there is such a thing as absolute truth. And when you get, and my peers in public school and stuff, they are taught to believe that there is no such thing as absolute truth. They actually teach classes where that is the objective, is to destroy the concept of absolute truth. You know, everyone, accepting everyone, their beliefs, and all that kind of stuff. So I'd say that's probably the biggest difference. I mean, that, and then, you know, focusing on sciences rather than the humanities and the arts.
Angie, looking back on your son's education, how would you say it compared to that of his peers? How the decision that you made for classical Lutheran education for your son, how do you feel about that decision, and how do you think it compared to that of his peers?
That's a good question also. I think he's been exposed to a lot of things maybe that they haven't gotten to hear about. Part of the reason we homeschooled in high school is because by the time he was done with eighth grade, the things he was reading for history and literature were things I had not heard of till I was in college, like Bede and Chaucer, some of those types of things that I had never heard of till then.
So it was certainly a different experience. Do you feel like the education he received in classical Lutheran education prepared him for college?
What I was trying to do was help him to go to primary sources and investigate information for himself, trying to get to the original language, the original translation, and research whatever new topic he was confronted with, to be able to investigate that and decide for himself how things fit together and what they meant. From what I can tell, he's doing a good job of that. I've been very, very pleased with the types of extracurricular reading that he gives himself to do, and the way he follows current events, mm-hmm. that type of thing. I think he's doing well. Thank you.
Pastor Hill, your thoughts on how the classical Lutheran education that you chose for your family, for your son, how that has prepared him for college?
Yes. My reflections come, of course, partly as a pastor and partly as a father.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as a pastor, I'm looking at all the kids that I have confirmed over the years, and I am observing, you know, some small successes, and I'm also observing some very, very disappointing, I guess what I would call failures in terms of what I would hope for my students as confirmation students. And my evaluation of how we have succeeded as parents with classical Lutheran homeschooling, our school, and then homeschooling, I'm very pleased with the outcome. Our children are, you know, Christian, Lutheran. They're in church. They share this grand vision that Scriptures gives of life and of the world, and I believe they will be well prepared for, you know, marriage, parenthood, you know, adulthood,
mm-hmm.
and that they will be prepared to serve their neighbor in the home, in the church, in their communities, the workplace, and so forth. So I guess my reflections are, I'm very thankful for what we've been blessed with here.
Sure. Very good. Well, we need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue our conversation with the Hill family about their experience with classical Lutheran education. So stick around for more Faith and Family right after this on listener-supported worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
When do we first meet Elijah in the Bible? How did King Ahab provoke the God of Israel to anger And why does God tell Elijah to go to the brook Cherith and hide? Live Tuesday on Issues Etc., we'll have Pastor Tom Baker lead us in a Sunday school lesson of 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 through 6.
Issues Etc., live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO.
The Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education invites all homeschoolers, day school teachers, administrators, and pastors to our conference hosted by Concordia Seminary St. Louis, July 15 through 17. Be refreshed and equipped to teach with speakers including Dr. Thomas Korchak, Dr. Jean Edward Veith, and Cheryl Swope, author of Simply Classical, A Beautiful Education for Any Child. For more information, visit ccle.org.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Today we are talking with the Hill family about their experience with classical Lutheran education. We're talking with the Reverend John Hill from Mount Hope Lutheran Church and School in Casper, Wyoming, and also Angie Hill and his wife, and Andrew Hill, their son, who is currently a student at University of Wyoming. And I've enjoyed hearing your story and your perspective, especially from Andrew, about the just your whole journey through through the grade school years in high school as a homeschool student, then also your first ventures into community college. I'm interested in hearing your perspective as a family for those who are interested in classical Lutheran education, but maybe don't have a school in their community, or maybe they do have a classical Lutheran school, but not really sure if it's for them. I'd be interested in hearing your thoughts as for those types of families as they start looking into classical Lutheran education. Let's start with Angie about what are your recommendations? What are your encouragements to parents who are thinking about classical Lutheran education? Maybe not sure if they have all the right resources, or maybe feeling a bit anxious about it, that if they're going to embark on homeschooling, not really feeling properly equipped to do that. Angie?
Well, talk about not being properly equipped, yes. I think a lot of the homeschooling burden falls on the mom, and we want what's best for our children, and it's distressing if we don't feel as if we're good enough to do this job. You don't want to mess up. It's kind of scary. So, yes, I'll say don't be surprised. It will be hard, but there are a lot of resources out there now. So one of the things that I would, a couple really important things I would say. One is start building up your personal library with classic works. Start reading the ancient works. Perhaps get away from reading things about how to do classical education, but start actually reading Homer and Virgil and those ancient works. So build your personal library. Secondly, what I did find that was probably the most helpful thing for me with homeschooling was a series of texts on the Progymnasmata. These are the pre-rhetoric writing exercises it's called classical writing. Starting with the Kriya and the Maxim books, that's more the high school level. Those were very helpful. They explained a lot of those exercises and gave really great ancient examples, things to teach the children how to write, but also some very good discussion topics. We've really talked about some great things as a family, probably around the dining room table. And really, I got a lot of those ideas from these books, the classical writing books. I think there may be a Lutheran resource out there now. I haven't looked at it very much yet, but that's what I'd like to see eventually as a Lutheran version of this series of books.
Very good. So getting resources and digging into those resources and using them, and not being afraid to really kind of educate yourself as a classical student, in order to better teach your family, as if you're going to approach it as homeschool. I know I would think that most people would be a bit anxious and timid about starting a classical education at home if they didn't have a classical education themselves. So having those resources that you recommended are certainly helpful. Pastor Hill, your thoughts about embarking on classical Lutheran education, both as a parent and also as a pastor and a school administrator?
Yeah, I would have lots of advice, I suppose, but I don't be afraid to try. That's going to be, you know, one of the first pieces of advice. And part of it is do what you can do. Don't think that you're going to do what you can't do. We all come with our own personal resources. And one of the things I've observed as a headmaster of a classical Lutheran school is that really none of us to this point have had the kind of education we're trying to give our students. And so one has to think modestly, sometimes in small steps. Don't be afraid to ask for help. I would encourage people to talk with their pastor. Pastors oftentimes are willing to be great resources. And can perhaps assist in that. I know one of the pastors in our district who actually taught the religion class for some homeschoolers, and or he may be able to teach them some Greek or Latin. By all means, use the Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education as a resource. Come to the conference. Get in contact with some of those folks, and there are some great homeschooling organizations that can also provide excellent support.
You mentioned giving our children something that we didn't have, giving them the education that we ourselves didn't have, always trying to give them the best. Isn't that what we always want to do as parents? We want to give them what better than what we had, it seems like.
Better than what we had, and you know, our culture has changed. It's not, life is not the way it was 30, 40 years ago or even further back, and I think it's very wise for parents to take a good hard look at where the cultural education of our children is going, and to make decisive choices that counter that direction in our culture.
How is classical Lutheran education a cultural education?
It of course roots us in God's Word, first of all. It's a very verbal education, if I may. You know, we talk about the grammar, logic, and rhetoric, but those are all language terms, and they presume such things as absolute truth, that there is truth, goodness, and beauty in the world that can be known, that can be asserted and talked about. We want to root our children in those great values and a great curiosity and love of those things. And classical education does that. And as you heard from Andrew, it provides a great platform and vantage point for evaluating the alternatives that are out in the world.
Andrew, for the student whose family is thinking about a classical education for them, a classical Lutheran education, and maybe this is new to their family, what's your encouragement to that student who may be embarking on a classical education, hasn't experienced that type of approach to education before? Maybe they're switching midstream, maybe in middle school or somewhere around there. What are your words of encouragement to someone who's embarking for the first time on a classical education?
I would say, you know, stay with it. Listen to your parents for that one. It's going to seem really different, but the rewards you get from it are going to be completely different from what you would get from a public education. You'll turn out a different person, and you'll be completely differently prepared for what you choose to do in life.
Are you still studying Latin today?
I took Latin last semester at college. I didn't this semester. I didn't have time. But yeah, I'm still trying to keep it up. Unfortunately, I don't know Greek, so that's a resource that I might have to pick up at some point. But yeah, I'm still doing Latin and trying to add on languages whenever I have a spare moment. So
Latin and Spanish, any other languages that you're working on?
Yeah, my other main language actually is French, and that's something my mom started teaching me in high school. That was one of my favorite subjects. And then I've taken a semester of German, and I'm hoping to get some Russian in here when I get a chance.
Wow, so now I understand why you're studying linguistics.
Yep.
Well, very good. That's exciting. That's pretty neat. And how has Latin helped you with studying all those other languages?
Well, first, I mean, on just a basic note, you know, once you learn the grammar and the structure of Latin, it makes the other ones really easy. Even German, you know, the German teachers tell you it's going to be hard with all the cases and declensions and stuff. But, I mean, they only have half as many as Latin. And then at the same time, most of the words we have today are 70% of them or so have a Latin root. And so you learn kind of not just what words mean, but, you know, how they came about and, you know, things that the words imply that aren't always said verbally, I guess.
It sounds like I know when I was taking Greek, my beloved professor would always point out that if I would have studied Latin prior to that class, it would have been a lot easier. So there's hope. If you get to squeeze in Greek, I'm sure that'll your Latin education will certainly be very helpful to you along the way. I too studied French in high school, but I didn't have the Latin basis, so that I'm sure it would have been a lot more enjoyable if I would have had that foundation of Latin.
Yeah, it makes the vocabulary a whole lot easier. I will say that.
Well, Angie, is there anything else about the classical Lutheran education that you've chosen for your family that you'd like to share, that you'd like for our listeners to know about today?
Let's say it's one of the most difficult things I've ever tried to do, but it's a great joy to spend that time with my children and see them grow and learn and discover things. And I have to say, They're way above me.
I have some friends in our congregation whose older children were instructed and catechized and confirmed not too long ago, and was visiting and celebrating with them, and they homeschool and use a lot of classical education in their approach as well. And they said, we discovered that our children are smarter than us, but we can't let them know.
They know. They're just being nice.
That sometimes happens when you give your child a classical education, doesn't it? They can take off and soar excel very quickly with such an education and sometimes surpass us.
Right.
Well, Pastor Hill, anything else about your choice for classical Lutheran education that you would like to share with our listeners today?
Well, again, just encourage our folks to go that direction. I'm really hoping that even our universities and our synod as a whole will begin to turn back to a greater appreciation of our historic treasures as a culture and as a church body. The great value of our languages, of our literature, of our history, and to allow those to shape and form the worldview and the values and the things that we love. It's a great treasure to give our kids, and it makes one hopeful for what our future will be, and as we turn the church and our civilization over to the next generation, it does make one hopeful that we will have some good leadership for us at that time.
Do you all have plans to attend the Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education coming up in July?
I will be there. In fact, they've roped me into presenting again on pedagogy while I'm there, but yes, I'm looking forward to it. It'll be great to be on the Concordia campus and to be with all those folks that are interested in classical Lutheran education.
What are you looking forward to most? We're going to talk with Cheryl Swope in just a little bit about the upcoming conference, but anything particular? You're speaking about pedagogy. What are you looking forward to most about this conference?
Well, there's always some lovely surprises of folks that just give us some wonderful content. You're speaking to an old hand here. I've been to many of these conferences. For a newcomer, they'd look forward to just learning the basics and kind of reviewing those things. For me, it's probably more some of the wonderful, more in-depth things that we get to do. And then it's almost like a family reunion now, coming back and seeing all the folks and visiting with them and comparing notes on our schools and homeschools and so forth. And it's just it's a great opportunity.
Very good. Very good. Now, when it comes to your presentation on pedagogy, give us, for a person who's new to this, what does that mean? What will you be speaking about?
Well, we'll just kind of talk about the basics of classical Lutheran education. I'll focus both on content and on the grammar, logic, rhetoric. I like to give some attention to the importance of the word, reading, history, literature, and there's kind of I'll even have a little bit of a worldview component to it. I want folks to help. I want to help them see that this really is kind of a shift of viewpoint on what we're hoping to accomplish with the education and how we go about doing it.
We've been talking with the Reverend John Hill, pastor at Mount Hope Lutheran Church and School in Casper, Wyoming, and his family, Mrs. Angie Hill and son Andrew Hill, a student at University of Wyoming. Thank you, Hill family, for taking some time today to talk with us about your experience with classical Lutheran education. Thank you, Pastor Hill.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you, Angie, and thank you, Andrew.
Welcome.
God's blessings to you, and Pastor Hill, we'll see you when you're here for the conference in just about a month. Stick around for more Faith and Family. We're going to check in with Cheryl Swope here in the the Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education about the upcoming conference. Stick around for more right after this on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Facebook is one of the biggest social media instruments for checking out what is going on with Worldwide KFUO. On our Facebook page, facebook.com/KFUO radio, you'll see us posting pictures, online videos, show information, as well as reviews and previews of events at KFUO. Worldwide KFUO, we are where you are, on Facebook at facebook.com/KFUO radio. The worldwide leader of confessional Lutheranism, Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
The White House says President Barack Obama plans to sign an executive order banning federal contractors from discriminating against employees on the basis of their sexual orientation or gender identity. But it's unclear if there will be a religious exemption. Nathan Diamond, Executive Director for Public Policy for the Union of Orthodox Jewish Congregations of America, says
there are many Catholic organizations and Christian organizations and Jewish organizations that get these kinds of contracts.
He says if there's no religious exemption,
they would be faced with violating their faith or having to pull out of the contract.
Obama hoped that Congress would pass a broader non-discrimination measure that would apply to nearly all employers. Senator Orrin Hatch called on the White House to include the same religious exemptions in the executive order that are included in legislation the Senate passed, but which is stalled in the House. The bill includes exemptions for churches and other houses of worship, as well as religious-affiliated organizations. I'm Steve Coleman.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Joining us by phone now, we have Cheryl Swope. She's a board member for the Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education and also an author. She's author of a classical education. Oh, man. I didn't put it in front of me. Cheryl, what's the name of your book again?
Hi, Andy. Hi. Simply Classical.
Simply Classical. Simply Classical, a beautiful education for all.
For any child.
For any child. Thank you so much. Cheryl, thanks so much for rearranging your schedule today to make some time for us and talk about the Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education and the conference coming up very soon, coming up July 15th through the 17th here in St. Louis. Is that right?
That is correct. We appreciate your talking about this because we're very excited about this conference. Lutherans have always been very interested in fulfilling the Great Commission through the baptizing and teaching. And this conference is called Language, Logic, and Lutheran Education. So we're featuring a plenary session called What is Lutheran? About Lutheran Education. We also have another plenary with the history of the liberal arts tradition in Lutheranism. We have an extremely strong history, and the man leading that session is Dr. Thomas Korchuk, who wrote a book called Lutheran Education, From Wittenberg to the Future. Then we have a lot of, hands-on teacher training sorts of sessions, like how to teach language, logic, rhetoric, even Latin, and the liturgy with children and teens.
Very good. So you've got quite a bit lined up. Really something for all ages, don't you?
We do. We even have a session on homeschooling, and we have another session on homeschooling special needs children.
And
so we do. It's for classroom teachers, mm-hmm. for homeschoolers, for pastors, really anyone interested in finding out more about classical Lutheran education or joining with those who are already involved, whether in day schools or homeschools.
So this is really a conference opportunity for someone who is looking into classical Lutheran education or someone who already has some experience and being able to network and gain some more resources and really to sharpen one another.
Right. We're looking to edify, to encourage, and to equip. All at once. And for many of our people, myself included, one of our highlights is the daily chapel services together, because a lot of us are involved in education all across the country, and we don't necessarily have like-minded Lutherans right in our backyard. And so when we all come together for those worship services and the sessions and the meals, it's just a very special time, and we only gather annually. So we're all already looking forward to it. And yes, we do have sessions for people who are just exploring. We have one that's being led by a person whom we affectionately call the mother of classical Lutheran education. She's a friend, Melinda Heine, and she's going to explore what is the difference between classical and progressive education. And why does that matter? And which do we want to be adopting for our Lutheran schools and homeschools? And then Pastor Hill, whom you just interviewed, has a three-day session that he was describing on what is classical Lutheran education. So we really do want to explore the foundations, but then also we have some scholars who will be exploring much more in-depth for those who want to go even more fully into all of the different topics. For example, Dr. Jean Edward Veith, who wrote the foreword of Simply Classical, he is a founding member of our consortium, and he is leading a session on a Reformation poet. It's actually the topic of his very first book. I don't even know how many years ago that must have been, but I'm looking forward to that. We have just some others, a classicist from Boulder, Colorado, the University of Colorado. He always has very scholarly presentations. And then, like I said, we have just hands-on sessions as well.
And you'll be presenting at the conference as well, is that correct?
Yes, I have one large group session entitled, Why Classical Education for Any Child? a lot of times when people hear things like Latin and Greek and logic and rhetoric, it sounds so esoteric. But my experience as a homeschooling mom with my own two special needs children, they both have autism, they both have severe mental illness, learning disabilities that are quite significant, they both had attention difficulties. We homeschooled with this very model for the strengthening of their minds and their faith. So I'm leading a whole session called Why Classical Education for Any Child? And that kind of is that really is the story and the foundation for the book, Simply Classical. So we'll have that session, and then I'm also doing a smaller workshop for anyone who homeschools a special needs child. And it's called Homeschooling a Special Needs Child, Let's Talk. And it's just a time to bring questions and kind of brainstorm solutions together with other moms who are dealing with similar situations.
I'm sure as a parent, thinking about homeschooling, and especially if your child has special needs, whether it be a learning disability or something else, that it can seem like a very daunting task, or feel like you may feel like you're not equipped for it. And so you probably have lots of questions, or maybe not even really giving it full consideration. So having an opportunity like that to discuss it and hear from those who have gone there before, who have done it and literally wrote the book on it, I think will be a great benefit.
Right, absolutely. Well, and I will say that my kids are 19 now. They're twins, boy-girl twins, well, whom you've met.
Yeah, and just delightful, too.
We started back when they were about 18 months old. I have a master's degree in special ed, and I still was not confident that I could do this on my own. But, of course, we're never on our own, and God provided the strength and then also the grace for all of us to forgive one another through the whole journey, and that has made all of the difference. The other just logistic aspect of homeschooling is that you can tie into a lot of specialties and services. Like we had OT, PT, that's occupational therapy, mm-hmm. physical therapy, speech and language therapy. We did all of that through Cardinal Glennon, the children's hospital that's local in St. Louis. And there are ways to sidestep the public school and still homeschool a child who has special needs if you want to do that. So, yes, you're right. Those sessions are very beneficial for all of us. They're just very encouraging.
Would you say by attending the conference that not only do you gain something in the presentations there, but you also get connected with other people who are kind of in the same boat as you, whether they're new to it or they've been doing it for a long time? You really kind of get connected to this network.
Absolutely. And it's not just a network professionally, but just personally. Mm-hmm. To be so surrounded by people who are just wanting to do the same thing that you're wanting to do is so special that, for me, sometimes just the meals are as helpful as the sessions. And the evening gatherings, we're doing a whole evening just for homeschooling parents, and at the same time, a whole evening just for school administrators and the evening for classroom teachers, just so that we can all get to know each other early in the conference. That's the first night, Tuesday mm-hmm. night. And, yes, and we stay connected through CCLE.org. That's the Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education.org. There's an online homeschool group there that's free to join, so people can stay connected year-round, and we do.
Well, I want to make sure that our listeners have all the details they need to find out more about the upcoming conference and what they, you know, what they can expect there. CCLE.org is the website that you just mentioned. They can find registration information there. It's coming up Tuesday through Thursday, July 15th through the 17th. It'll be here in the St. Louis area at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Several speakers that you mentioned earlier, you noted quite a few of the speakers for us, just a great lineup and a number of great topics. Anything else they need to know with just about a minute left? Anything else they need to know about the conference before we wrap up our time today?
Yes, for the first time, we are offering simultaneous programs for teens and children. We have a teen program for ages 13 to 18. This is run by Wittenberg Academy. And if you go to wittenbergacademy.org, you can find out about them. They are an online classical Lutheran high school, the only one in the country, the only one that we know of, actually. They are running a teen program during the conference. Our children's program is for ages 3 to 12. We have things like art and music, a visit to the chapel when no one is there just to learn about the symbolism and the chapel. We have a session on liturgy. We have a session on Shakespeare. The Bard in the Box is coming from the St. Louis Shakespeare Company. So we have all kinds of things for people if they do not have childcare and they just want to bring their families.
Very good. Go check it out, ccle.org. We've been talking with Cheryl Swope. She's a member of the Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education Board of Directors, also on the Conference Planning Committee, and author of Simply Classical, A Beautiful Education for Any Child, with that foreword by Jean Veith, Dr. Jean Veith. Thank you so much, Cheryl, for taking some time this morning with us to talk about the upcoming conference. It's been a pleasure to chat with you again.
Thank you.
Well, coming up in a little bit, we've got Moments of Assurance. Stick around for that great conversation with the Reverend Mark Hawkinson and some great music right here on Listener Supported Worldwide, KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.